الحمد لله الحمد لله وكفى وسلام على عباده الذين اصطفى ما بعد اللهم صل على سيدنا محمد وعلى ال سيدنا محمد وبارك وسلم اللهم صل على سيدنا محمد وعلى ال سيدنا محمد وبارك وسلم اللهم صل على سيدنا محمد وعلى ال سيدنا محمد وبارك وسلم. One of the things that one will notice is that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala created the entire world tadrijan. This is the word that you'll hear in technical terminology, meaning in stages. So Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, while He has the ability to create things instantaneously, ثُمَّ قَالَ لَهُ كُنْ فَيَكُونَ, He says, be and it was. But there's other things that He did not create instantaneously, and He allowed them to be created over time. خَلَقَ السَّمَاوَاتِ وَالْأَرْضَ فِي سِتَّةِ أَيَّامٍ ثُمَّ اسْتَوَى عَلَى الْأَرْشِ, that He created the heavens and the earth in 6 days. Right? It happened over time. And this is something that we see all around us, that, you know, there's microevolution occurring. We see, things, everything around us, cities are built, cities grow, and these all happen in stages. Right? Even when they want to expand a city or expand a corporation, they talk about different phases of expansion. So that's just the way of the world. And the same thing applies to us in our deen when we're trying to improve ourselves. A lot of times people look for instantaneous growth. They want to snap their fingers and automatically become a new person. But typically from our perspective as human beings, that human beings don't function like that, because we're a part of an ecosystem, we're part of a larger system that doesn't work like that. We're part of a larger system that occurs in phases, right? You don't snap your finger and a building is built. You don't snap your finger and a new startup occurs, right? All of these things require so many different stages. And the same thing is applicable to a person's own spiritual development, that we go through stages in our spiritual development. And we have to make continuous effort to keep on building. So just like when you're making a building, you put one brick, and once you lay a good foundation, then you can put other bricks on top of that, and eventually you can make a beautiful edifice. You don't jump to putting the dome before you set a very strong foundation. Now, foundation of Islam, of the edifice of Islam, is based on 5 pillars. بُنِيَ الْإِسْلَامُ عَلَى خَمْسٍ أَنْ تَشْهَدَ لَا إِلَهَ إِلَّا اللَّهُ وَأَنْ تَقُومَ صَلَاةً وَأَنْ تُؤْتِيَ زَكَاةً وَأَنْ تَصُومَ رَمَضَانًا وَأَنْ تَحُجَّ الْبَيْتَ إِنِ اسْتَطَاعَ إِلَيْهِ سَبِيلًا. That, you know, these 5 pillars that we all know, that forms the foundation. And anyone who knows anything about construction knows that an edifice is only as strong as its foundation. So if the foundation is strong, then whatever is going to be built on top of it will also be strong. And then the other stuff is also to a certain degree, is for beautification. But it's not necessarily structurally important. And I'll give you a good example. We had several roofing issues. And so I learned a little bit of roofing over the past 3 years. But one of the things that I didn't know or never realized is that when you put a tiled roof or shingles on the roof, the tiles are not actually the barrier against the elements. It's actually the underlayment. So you have decking, right? You have the trusses underneath, and then you have the decking, which is plywood or OBF. And on top of that, they put an underlayment. And the underlayment is not nearly as expensive as the actual tile. Right? So that's not the expensive part. And so people skimp on the underlayment because they want a good-looking tile. And they put the tile on top. But the tile is just for aesthetics. Right? Tile is just for aesthetics. What's really important is that underlayment. And if you put double layers, then you have double the protection. So then you won't have seepage through the roof coming in. And it becomes particularly important here in Florida when we have hurricanes and all of these other things. So... And you see people making the same mistake when it comes to the deen, right? They want to be the big topi wearing, pagra bearing, turban yielding sheikh with the staff. And they feel like, just the outward things and aesthetics is somehow going to carry a person forward. And people like love to come to Qiyamul Layl. But really the foundation is shaky. And when the foundation is shaky, things are going to leak. Right? Things are going to leak. And that's why sometimes... That's one of the reasons why sometimes you see people who on the outward seem so outwardly religious, so outwardly pious, and then bad things happen. You're like, how could that be possible? Because everything on the surface look like a beautiful tile roof. It's like such an expensive roof. That's the highest, you know, grade of slate or stone. How could, you know, something like that go wrong? But what failed was the underlayment underneath. Right? It comes down to very basic things. And you know, even speaking to one of my teachers recently, he's been doing a lot of research on zakah, for example, and just it's so sad because so few people in the ummah are actually paying their zakah, and even from the people who are paying their zakah, so few are doing it properly, right? So some people are just giving it to a library, or they're confusing sadaqah and zakah, right? If they were the same thing, then you wouldn't have two different categories. There's zakah is separate and sadaqah is separate. So anyway, that's the first, I think, point to be made, is that we should focus on building a strong foundation, and that occurs, and that's the first step in our spiritual development. And on top of that, then you can, you know, beautify it with the nawafil and the other things. Now, taking it from a different approach, this process of building a beautiful, you know, spiritual edifice also is going to require time, and it's going to require effort. And sometimes people, you know, they get really excited. They go to a lecture, they're coming back from the haram, and that motivation is important, right? You're supposed to use that energy to move forward. But people get excited and they say, oh, you know, I'm becoming hafiz, or I'm going to do a lot of dhikr. And so they come and then they push hard and they sit for 2 hours, or they read a lot of Quran one day. And they push very hard, and almost inevitably, anyone who pushes like that will burn out. Because that's an effort to make something which is technically tadrijan, instantaneous, and it doesn't work like that. The Prophet ﷺ, he said, "Ahabul amali ilallahi adwamuha wa in qalla," that the most beloved actions to Allah Subhanahu wa Taala are the ones which are most daim. Most, it's not even, you know, we translate it as consistent, but daim means forever, right? If something is daimi, it's like forever, meaning that if you start it, you're supposed to practice it as if you're going to do it forever. وَإِن قَلَّ, even if it's a little bit. It doesn't matter. Right? So yeah, when you start something new, and if you're doing a little bit every day, it doesn't really look very spectacular. And it doesn't really feel very grandiose. And it doesn't make you have that, you know, the good feelies inside that, oh, I'm doing such a great thing, or I'm such a great Muslim. But you're laying those very important bricks. And if you do it right, and you wait long enough, eventually it forms a beautiful edifice. There's also a psychological aspect to this, which is that when people try to do too much, what happens is then they end up failing. And failing is a demotivating factor. People don't like to fail. So when a person fails in it, and then they just like, or like forget about it. And eventually, maybe after a year, then they get another boost somewhere and they try again and they fail. If it happens 2 or 3 times, people just don't go back to it again. They're like, man, that's just too hard. That Islam thing, that being super pious, that's just for those guys, right? I'm just going to leave it to them. I'm just going to live a normal life. And people start pushing hard and people start trying hard. That doesn't happen if you do little actions, but continuous actions. Because when you do a little action, that's something that's quantifiable, something that you can, that has what you call accountability, and something that's accomplishable. Like a small thing, say that every day I'm going to read قُلْ هُوَ اللَّهُ أَحَدْ 3 times, right? The one who reads قُلْ هُوَ اللَّهُ أَحَدْ, it's like he read ثُلُثُ الْقُرْآنِ, a third of the Qur'an. So you're getting a lot of reward. So he says, I'm going to read, even he doesn't say, I'm going to read قُلُ اللَّهُ أَحَدْ 3 times. He says, I'm just going to read it once a day. Right? Just not in salah, outside of salah. I'm going to make it a part of my normal day. It's hard for me to read Qur'an. I'm just going to read قُلُ اللَّهُ أَحَدْ. So now when a person does that, that's doable. Right? When a person does that, and they're doing it for, you know, a week, then they do it for a month, then they do it for a year, then you feel like, wow, mashallah, you feel a change. Like that was a victory. And when you make an accomplishment, that's empowering. Then a person feels, okay, let me add something on top of that. Let me add on something on that. So getting out of that vicious cycle of failure into this positive cycle of success, because success breeds success, right? When you're able to, you see this with kids in, you know, in school. If you over-challenge them, then there's a learned helplessness, and then they just crash. They won't do anything. They just give up. But if you give them accomplishable goals, and then they can do it and they do well, you don't even need to. The feeling of accomplishment is enough of a motivation for them to keep on studying and doing well and moving forward. And one of the reasons that sometimes kids really don't like studying is because they struggle with it, because they have weak foundations, right? Because, you know, you weren't very good in, your fractions before, and then that will plague you through through algebra and geometry and pre-cal and it's just all the ways. So you'll never enjoy it because there was those holes. But if a person is really, really good at their fractions and algebra, then and they're able to crack the calculus and everything, then you know it just gives you this motivation, and you just feed off that. And the same thing works in the deen. So that's one aspect, that trying to do actions, regular actions, even if they're little. And there has to be some aspect of regularity or regular actions in our life. Otherwise, we're just wandering in the dark. If a person doesn't have some regular aspect of a little bit of zikr every day, you define what that is, right? No one needs to define that for you. But some extra zikr every day, then you're just wandering in the dark. If a person doesn't have some regular set amount of qira'ah of Qur'an on a daily basis, you're just wandering around aimlessly in life. And we won't realize how much we're lost at sea until we start dropping these anchors, right? When you stop dropping an anchor, and it's your, for example, say it's your general ma'mool that you read 1/4 of a Qur'an every day, and you've been doing it for 1 or 2 years. Take that person and let him miss one day and see how he feels, right? It's like he'll feel, oh my God, my whole day was just ruined, right? Before, he was never reading anything. But once he became regular in it, and you take that one part out, it's just like his whole world is, you know, falling apart. Take someone who's regular in the masjid and let them miss one fajr, right? Then they're like, oh my God, this is the worst day that I've had in a year, because there was something that they had become regular in it. And that regularity didn't happen overnight, right? It was built up. And there's a sort of a subtle spiritual point that should be made here, actually, is that while from our perspective, change happens tadrijan, right? And we're supposed to work slowly steadily towards our goal, from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala's perspective, tawfiq can be instantaneous. Right? Does that sort of make sense? So from our side, a person might be working for a very, very, very long time. But you know, sometimes, like I was talking to this one individual yesterday, and they were talking about this one kid. And this kid, he was just very aggressive and very, just belligerent and rebellious and difficult. And then all of a sudden, the kid changed, right? And people noticed. Right? And they're saying, okay, how did that happen? And in that particular circumstance, it was one trip to the haram, right? He was in the right place, the right time, the rahmah of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala came down. But, you know, even though that change to everyone else from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala's perspective might look instantaneous, there was so much else going on the back end, right? There was probably so many people who were making, his parents were probably making dua for them. His parents, his friends were probably trying to, try to guide him towards the right way. So many other things might have been happening slowly, slowly, slowly. And sometimes it feels like the wheels are just spinning and nothing's going anywhere until all of a sudden something happens and then the other foot drops. So you should never become despondent that I'm trying, I'm not seeing change. I'm trying to become regular in my dhikr, I can't become regular in my dhikr. You just keep on trying and just wait, because Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will sweep in, right? And He will give that tawfiq bi'iznillah, or He will give us the reward for that, for our intention. So that was just sort of like, a technical point about how this works. And that's why they say all of the spiritual path is actually just preparation for one moment, right? Wilaya actually doesn't take more than one moment. That's how a sahabi became a sahabi in one moment. He went from kafir, which is the worst of the worst, to sahabi, in the best of the best, in one moment. And that just happened because the tawfiq came and the fadl came from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Anyway, that was a side point. So in a practical sense, what does this mean? What this means is that, and this is just practical advice, one of the good things to do is when you start looking at all of the deen is really overwhelming,
right? And it just seems like too much. And, you know, it comes also in hadith that, you know, no one vies with the deen means to try to take it down except that it will break him. So if you try to do everything at one time, it's just not possible. And that's not what's something that's intended within the deen as well. The saddidu wa qaribu, right? Be slow, be deliberate, be steady, and keep on getting closer to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And what that means is, define for yourself, and you know what that means best. You know your own schedule best. You know what's going on with your life best. You know your own circumstances best. Define a minimum. A minimum that every single day, this is my floor, and I'm not going to fall underneath this floor, right? And it might be, for example, I'm going to pray all my sunnats, and I'm going to do tasbih fatimi after, you know, my salah. Maybe something like that might be right. I will read my du'as every single day before I enter and exit the bathroom. You know, whatever it may be, just set some floor and keep that as your base. And once that becomes steady, then you can build on top of that. And while that's your floor, if you do anything extra on that day, then that's extra. You can feel good about it and that's nice, but don't drop underneath the floor. And this is like an example, like, you know, there was this one person, who an individual gave them a whole regimen, right? Like every day, one third Surah Al-Baqarah, every day, let's put it this, I'll give you another example, I guess. There's, when you look at the du'as for protection every day, there's so much, right? There are so many du'as in the morning, there's so many du'as in the evening, there's so many du'as for protection. You can read Surah Al-Baqarah every single day. If you look at the whole thing, it's just like, you're like, man, this is too much. So you can set a minimum. You can say every day I'm going to read Bismillah alladhi la yadhurru ma ismihi shay'un fil ardi wa la fis sama' 3 times. That's my basis, my basic. And then some days if I'm able to read Surah Al-Baqarah on top of that, very good. Or some days I'm able to read Manzil on top of that, very good. If I don't, no problem, because I hit my base. So just define what that base is, I guess, is one practical advice. And then the second practical advice, to close with this, is that once you start something, and this is something that exists within the deen, then keep on going with that, right? أَلَّذِينَ هُمْ عَلَىٰ صَلَاتِهِمْ دَائِمُونَ. You start your salah, keep on going with it. And there's so many stories about this, about righteous predecessors, right? That you hear that in the end, when they look back, they were big ulama, this and that, and what benefited you? They would say something like, you know, 2 rak'ah at the night. Because it was something simple, it was pure, and it's something that they were constant in. Sometimes the simple things, it outshadows all of the other, you know, glamour and shine and lights and all of that. Just simple things. Simple things that were consistent. So, but when we start something, and there are some circumstances, even when you in the deen, that you, if you start something and you leave it, it's actually punishable. Right? It's actually punishable. For example, the person who memorizes the Quran and forgets it, that's punishable. The person who Allah subhanahu has given the Quran and they don't stand up with it in the night, for example, in the Isha Salah, it's punishable. So, and the other thing, then, and there's a spiritual secret here. Why is it punishable? Because if you started doing something, you demonstrated to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala that I have the capacity, I have the capability to do that, and then you stopped. Right? Before that, the hujjah is not complete because you never were doing it. But now you're doing something. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala gave you, there's 2 aspects of it. One is that you've demonstrated the capacity of to do it, and then you stopped. And the second thing is that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala was rahim enough, and he was merciful enough to give the person the tawfiq to do that, which is a huge gift, and you just threw it at the door. You didn't do qadr of that. Right? So that ingratitude is also not a proper adab with Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So we pray that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala makes us amongst those individuals who are able to set clear goals for themselves in their deen, and He makes us amongst those who seek to constantly get improve in our deen and get closer to Him, and do so in a steady manner, without hastiness, in a manner that is acceptable and pleasing to Him. Wa akhiru da'wana, and alhamdulillahi rabbil alameen.